Good morning, church. This is Pastor Ben from the Aiken SDA Church here in Aiken. This is our 4 week in quarantine. We are being isolated for almost 4 weeks. Today, we have a beautiful spring day. Tomorrow, Christianity is celebrating Easter. So we are very grateful for what God has given us today, for the many blessings that He continues providing for us. I have a few announcements that I want to mention to you. The first announcement is that we had Sabbath school previous to this streaming. Brother Said Leon and Sister Gabriela Ivanescu, they are working together so you can have Sabbath school. You can ask questions online. You can send in requests for prayers, and they will be participating with you during that time. At this moment, we will transition into the worship hour, and I want you to remember Brother Barney Brooks. Barney Brooks is a member of our church, and his health is not doing that good. Please keep Barney in your prayers. In the same way, we are asking you for special prayers for the Romero family in New York. The Romero family, they lost their father this week. So the situations in the city of New York are getting more difficult and more complicated, even for families to do funerals and all these things. So keep that family in your prayers. Remember the other church members in our congregation, that they are elderly, that God continue blessing them and protecting them, and nothing happen. Please remember, if you want to help the Aiken Church here, you can go to our website and you will find instructions in how you can make donations online, how you can set up a free account. It's free of cost for us, but it's a great help for our local church. You can continue making donations for the Aiken Church. Or if you prefer, you can mail the check, the donations to Sister Alice Howell here in Aiken. So let me have a moment of prayer, and we'll enter into what the scripture have to say for us today. Heavenly Father, today we are asking you for your presence, guiding the people that is listening to this sermon. Lord, be my words be used by you, and be a blessing to all the ones who are listening, and that the holy word of the Bible, the holy inspiration, can bring to us guidance and comfort. Thank you, Father, for listening to our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week, family, I encountered a portion in the Old Testament that I want to share with you. And this is found in the book of Exodus, and it's chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, and that's what is comprised our study for today. So here you encounter a story that it is amazing. It's, in my opinion, very, very strange. It's incredible. So after the many months, the people of Israel wandering through the desert, escaping from Egypt, they finally get near Mount Sinai, and they are located here having this conversation with God. God gave them the Ten Commandments. God made the covenant with the people of Israel. He promised that He will help them and He will guide them. And in that process, Moses go up to the mountain for maybe like 40 days, a few weeks. And during that period of time, the story of Exodus 32 is happening. So let me do some reading here in what the scriptures say, and we will enter into what the Bible wanna teach us today. So first, the Bible say, when the people saw that Moses was long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us from Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." So this is the first verse in chapter 32, and it has so much information that I would like to break it down to you. So first, you see like a mob, a group of people going to visit Aaron in his tent. And it seems, according to the context of the story, that they were not that happy. They were a little anxious. They were worried about Moses. But more than worry about Moses, they were worried about the absence of Moses. And I want you to think about this, because it's easy for us to confuse things. For instance, a lot of people, they believe in God, but that doesn't mean that they had faith in God. What I mean by this is the following. You can accept the concept that God exists somewhere, but that doesn't mean that you had faith in Him, that you trust God as your friend, that you can rely on God when you are praying to Him. Have you ever prayed for something in your life when a big necessity you are concerned, you are worried, you pour your heart in front of God, and then nothing happened. It seems like God doesn't answer. So your faith in something that you cannot see is tested. Faith requires a relationship. Faith requires trusting in this person that you cannot touch, that you cannot see, that you cannot hear, but that you believe that he will answer and honor the prayers that you are making to him. So that's the kind of faith that I'm talking today to you. So you find the people of Israel that they are, after, like I mentioned, a few weeks wandering through the desert, they experience amazing things. The Dead Sea is open and they are able to cross through the sea. They are being provided with food from God. They are receiving water in the middle of the desert from the Lord. And all of these things are amazing. But that doesn't mean that you are still trusting in this God, that you have some faith in him. So this group of people, they want something that they can see, something that they can touch, something that they can have a conversation. And Moses, being the representative of God for the community of Israel, for the people of Israel, somehow transitioned from being a human being. And in their eyes, Moses is kind of like the representation of God. And that is quite interesting, because this week we were studying about leadership, and somebody was presenting to us that we had the tendency to idolize people. We made idols of everything, pretty much. We follow good speakers, or we follow good Christians. Nothing wrong with respecting them and listening to them, but you need to be careful in how you transition in your faith. Is this person your God, or is this person is only like someone who is encouraging you to believe in God? And with that in mind, I want you to keep thinking about the situation in chapter 32. The group of people is going and talk to Aaron, and they are questioning from Aaron the fact that Moses maybe will be dead. It's several weeks, nobody had heard from him. Maybe he had abandoned them in the middle of the desert. Maybe he come back to Egypt. And you will discover in the narrative of Exodus that time after time, the people of Israel, they had this desire to come back to Egypt. And in part it's because we all like certainty. Like you like things that they are sure. You want to be sure that tomorrow when you wake up, you have enough food in your house, you have enough water. Being uncertain of the basic needs that you will encounter at a desert can make people really anxious. So they are here, they don't see God, and the person who was representing God is gone. So their faith is being tested at this moment. Instead of going and talking to God and asking him to reinforce their faith and strengthen, they go to an old practice that they have in Egypt, which is following and worshiping idols. Keep in mind, this group of people, they used to be slaves for hundreds of years before. So they don't have a clear concept of freedom and religion the way that you probably have today. So here they are talking to Aaron, and they are pretty much demanding from Aaron, you need to give us something that we can touch, that we can see, that really embody our concept of God. Without that, we are lost. And perhaps their attitude was a little aggressive. We don't know all the details because they are missing in the story. But it seems to me that Aaron was quite afraid of that, because in order to try to bring down the confrontation, to lower the heat of the discussion, he make a suggestion. And it's found in verse number 2. He say the following, Aaron answered to them, take off the gold earrings that your wife and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring it to me. So it seems like a simple demand from Aaron. But I want you to think about the following. For people in ancient times, jewelry in many occasions had more than a physical appearance value. Jewelry was connected with spiritual value, meaning some of these jewels that they have, rings, had perhaps symbols that they were considered talisman for protection against evil spirits. People was quite superstitious at this time. It is possible that this jewelry that they were wearing right now was what they took from the Egyptians before they left Egypt. So what Aaron is trying to do here is trying to discourage them to depart from these precious jewels. Aaron is trying to use a human strategy to motivate them to stay away from idols. And maybe he's thinking they won't let go their rings or their earrings. They are so attached to these jewels that they will rather keep to them, and they will let this crazy idea of having an idol, another god, and probably they will leave me alone. Well, Brother Aaron was a little confused, because in verse 3, this is what the people of Israel did. So all the people took all their rings and brought them to Aaron. So they not only accept Aaron's challenge, but they comply with that. So that gives you an idea how determined they were to have a visible representation of God. Now, I want you to remember that in the previous chapters, God had explained to them the Ten Commandments. And the first commandment established that they shouldn't have any gods other than God himself, that they shouldn't make any idols, that they shouldn't do any representations of God. And it's because God knows our nature. So it's easy for us to create idols in any moment. When we feel desperate, we go back to our previous idols. And some people do these things consciously, and other people, they don't even notice what they are doing. And I'm speaking now to perhaps a Christian. And I want you to think about, how do you relate to material possessions? Are you a person who feels the comfort of having a nice salary, a check every 2 weeks? What about now that you don't have a job? What about now that you perhaps are laid off or are unemployed? How that made you feel? And I can relate to that. You probably will feeling, well, that made me feel anxious because I don't know what is the future bringing to me or for my family. I don't know how we'll be able to pay my bills. And so we like the security of a good fat checking account that make us feel more comfortable and sleeping at peace. But is that all that really human beings need for? So that's the kind of questions that I want you to think today in reference to your faith. What exactly is the kind of faith that you have? Do you continue trusting in God even when you don't understand what is going around you? This week, a good fellow sent me a video on Facebook, and in the video, somebody was explaining that the current virus that we have in our society was created by scientists, and they didn't say what kind of scientists built this, but it's implying in the video that somebody created this virus and it's used against us. So you will find a lot of these videos online, and people trying to give you explanations and having to give you suggestions. And it's a common term for these kind of persons today, right? That term is conspiracy theories. You believe in conspiracy, things that you cannot prove, but do you think that they're real? They make sense to you, and that somehow give you some comfort. Although I quite don't understand what comfort you can have finding out where is the origin of this virus. How would that help you right now in our current situation? Kind of like doesn't make the sense to me. But anyway, going back to our story here in Exodus, we discovered that Moses is in the mountain talking to God. And meanwhile, Aaron here is trying to deal with this rebellion at the camp of the Israelites. And he is trying first to use his wisdom, his human strategy, to discourage them to get in this idol. When this strategy backfired, now Aaron is caught between the people and being faithful to God. What to do? What is more important to do? Pleasing your followers, pleasing the people, your friends and family, or doing what God is expecting you to do? And that's an interesting question. So let's go back and continue reading here in the story. And the Bible mentioned in verse number 4, and he took what they handled him and make it into an idol, cast in the shape of the calf, fashioned it with a tool. Then he say, "There are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." So here you find the spiritual leader of the nation taking a decision that is quite sad. This is a decision not based on what is right, but based on what is expedient. And a lot of people do that today, right? You see it in the television, you see it in the news, and you see it even in spiritual leaders. What is the right thing to do? Not only for yourself, but also for your community. What is the most important thing to do? Are you more concerned with the resources, the income that you will lose? Or are you really concerned when the well-being of the people, your brothers and sisters, your fellow members of church. And when a lot of these things in my mind, I keep wondering, we live in very difficult times. And so Aaron made this decision of creating the idol, not because that is the right thing to do, it's because he is afraid for his life. This multitude is intimidating. People seem to be more aggressive. They seem to demand that they get what they want. And he doesn't have the moral strength to stand and tell them, no, that's the wrong thing to do. We need to be faithful to God, even if that probably will cost him his life. And because of that, he is continue providing for their desires. So when you continue reading the story, you find out that once they get the idol, they took another step. So when Aaron saw this, what is what Aaron saw? Well, that the people get excited and they start worshiping this calf, this cow. He took another step. Let me make an altar in front of the cow. So maybe we can offer some offerings to this God. Now, it's difficult to judge what he was thinking, what was his reasoning, but maybe he was trying to remind people that it's a true God that is expecting some worship and some adoration. And the people welcomed the idea of having an altar. And let me do some reading here in verse 5 and 6. When Aaron saw that they built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow we will have a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early. You know, I've been a pastor for almost 20 years. And in my many years of ministry, I discovered that it is difficult for churches to always start on time. And it's not because we don't want to start on time, it's because members don't show up to church. Maybe where you are, people tend to be very faithful and they show up on time, right? But in my congregation, you will have few people that show up on time, but the great majority, they will come slowly but surely. Like around 11 o'clock this time, you will have like half of the church present when you are expecting them. But the Bible is telling you that they get up so excited about this worship that they wake up really early in the morning and they decide, let's go to church and let's do have worship because we are honoring our gods now, right? So they decide to have this service, that they want to have this special moment when they sacrifice an offering to their Lord. So in that condition, in verse number 7, it continues saying the following. So the next day the people rose early, sacrificed burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat, to drink, and got to indulge in revelry. In other Bible versions, we'll say, and they rose to play. This is a very delicate way from the scripture to put it out that they were doing things that they were quite inappropriate. Some expert has suggested that they maybe have an orgy, some sexual connotations, some sensual dances. Whatever the situation that they were doing was after they eat and they drink. It was quite a sad moment, a low moment for the people of Israel. So with that in mind, I want you to think about the following. You know, it's easy for us today to judge them and say, well, they didn't have our faith. We are better than them, right? We don't follow in these traps of worshiping idols. Is that true? Do Christians today have idols? Do we worship things instead of God? C.S. Lewis mentioned that the safest road to go to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. So this is how Christians go down, in a very gentle slope, thinking that they are doing nothing wrong. You continue in this trajectory, and eventually will lead you to hell. So please think about the following details. Are you a kind of Christian who need to have reassurance from God to believe in God? Are you the kind of person who need to get a miracle answer from God every day so you feel that God loves you, that he really answered your prayers? Or can you trust in God even when he's silent, even when we don't have the answers to respond to all the questions that maybe we have? And I would like to challenge you today to have that kind of faith, a faith that relies on God, you know, not because you are seeing things, but because you know Him and you trust Him in your relationship with God. So are you the kind of person who really love people? And with that, I say in occasions, we love people so much that we place them in front of us instead of God. Maybe you are in a relationship with someone, and this person is so significant to you that you cannot see life without being around this person. Anything that can take place, take your attention, take your feelings from God, it becomes an idol for us today. Today we had plenty of idols. Society idolized good sport players, good athletes. We idolize actors, we idolize people in the internet. We even had developed a new term today to describe people who have a lot of followers, right? We call them influencers. That's like a very strange concept to me, like how you become an influencer. Well, when you have a lot of people watching you and listen to you. So is anything wrong when someone listen to you? No, I don't think there's anything wrong when someone listen to you. I think it's wrong when this person plays you instead of God in front of them, because we want certainty, we want security. And so keep that in mind. What about work? You know, for the ones who work, people idolize work in the sense that we make success more important than being faithful to your job. Are you the kind of person who are more worried about being respected in your company, accomplishing all the goals, getting all the rewards, getting the attention, getting the applause, getting the approval of your bosses? That's all in your mind. And so maybe you should think about that. Is your job becoming an idol to you? If that's the case, it is relevant. It's something that is important so much to you that it will take the place of God. So keep that in mind. Another thing that we use today that we need to be careful is when we assume that we are using God's words in our own life. And let me explain this, because this is very important, especially for Christians. People today, we have the tendency to rationalize things, rationalize our sins, our misbehavior, and we had many ways to justify our mistakes. A man was caught cheating his wife, a very faithful Christian guy, apparently, in his congregation. When he was confronted about the situation, he argued, well, my circumstances are kind of like unique. I know adultery is bad, according to what the Bible explained, but I have special circumstances. So it's kind of like in our mind, we develop our own excuses. We develop our own explanations to justify our own bad decisions. We are getting close to the deadline for taxes. And so right there is a temptation, right? Let me exaggerate a little bit in my expenses this year so I don't have to pay them as many taxes as I should pay. Or it's a small lie, you know, and it's a big reward. So we struggle with these temptations all the time. And they are happening to people everywhere. You are not alone in this. So it is important for us to keep remembering that our faith is connected with God. We have a special relationship with God, that we need to trust in Him and completely depend on what God is expecting us to do. We find in the scripture that the Lord invites people to completely rely on Him. We find also in the scripture in the New Testament another story where Jesus encountered a young man that was running in front of Jesus. That's the story of the rich young ruler. The Bible mentioned that this man was not only rich, he was powerful and well-connected in his society. And with that in mind, he approached Jesus, expecting Jesus to tell him, you know what, you are such a great human being, you are such a great person that you don't need to do anything. You are just ready to go to heaven. You can go on, right? And it seems to me that a lot of Christians feel the same way today. We think that we are such a good people, we are such great human beings, that we don't need transformation, that we are good, that all that we do is perfect, that we are in complete control. So I want you to think about that, because Jesus had this conversation with this younger man and remind him that one thing was missing, and was that he needed to give up all his money, all his treasure, and follow him. And when that, the young man walked away sad from Jesus. The reason, he was a rich person. He had a lot of possessions. And it was very difficult for him to give up money. What about you? How much you value your house? Or how much you value your car? What about the boat that maybe you had parked in front of your house? Or what about the quality of life that you have right now? How easy it will be for you to give up all these things? When we think about these things, then we realize maybe we have idols in our heart. Maybe we have some issues with some problems. I want to suggest today that we can reignite our relationship with God. Somebody mentioned that an sculptor, before he started working in his projects, used to put a lamp in front of him. That lamp will reflect the light over work instead of putting it beside him or behind him. And the reason for that is to avoid the shadows going into the piece of work that he was doing. So the light was always in front of him. And I want you to remember the Bible, the Word of God, is your lamp, it's your guide. Put it in front of you. Ask God to guide you. Ask God to give you direction. And the light that it comes from the Scripture will guide your path. Not only will it guide your path, it will reflect in your soul and the things that we all need to be abandoning and changing, our little idols that we have in there, the things that we place before us in front of God. Please remember that in our times, it is important to continue believing in God more than ever. Let me have a prayer for you. Heavenly Father, today I'm asking you for a special blessing for the persons who are listening to this sermon, that your work, that your inspiration, that your Holy Spirit can continue working in their hearts. Father, guide them, make them prosper, and make them have a happy life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my dear friends, we had concluded our worship here in Aiken. I hope that you have a blessed day today. Enjoy the community with your family. And if you want to join us next Saturday, we will be here at 11 o'clock from the Aiken Church. God bless you and take care of yourself.